Now playing movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, good people, and welcome to the podcast Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. I am your host, Sam, and I am joined this week, first of all, by a guy who also carries his medical history around with him to bars, but for a different reason. It's Machu. How are you, Machu?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. And, you know, you can't be too careful these days. Peanuts just seem to turn up in everyone's food, so they need to know.
Penises. Is that what you're saying?
Especially in this movie, there's a lot of penises that just turn up in people's food.
That is true. That is true. The other guy that is joining me on this podcast is Kahu, someone that whose ass I'm going to hang in my trophy room one day. How are you, Kahu?
Disturbing. otherwise, well.
Otherwise, well. That's good. As you guys can see by the name of the podcast, this week's episode is on Roadhouse. Now, this was a Patreon request. Right, we've got our $5 Patreons who request our Patreon-only episodes, and then we've got a couple of $3 Patreons and $1 Patreons. That's what keeps this podcast going. But this Patreon's been with us from the start. She's amazing. She's awesome. Her name is Tara. She actually sent us a box full of American candy and food. Can you believe it, guys?
Wow. Thanks, Tara.
What candy
Sam
and
hasn't
food?
Shared that yet.
Oh, shit. Hang on.
I love candy and food, and I'm super hungry.
Yeah, no, don't worry about it, guys. Don't worry about it, guys. I'm like,
should we go, Kahu? Yeah.
I want candy.
Yeah. Motherfucker. Why did I bring it up? Anyway, yeah, thanks, Tara. Thank you so much. Me and Stacey absolutely goddamn loved that candy. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks, Sam and Stacey.
Just still digging a hole.
Guess I'll be taking your word for it.
What a fucking dude. Anywho, yeah, Roadhouse came out in 1989. Who gives a fuck about the pertinent details? I just want to get into this, guys. I don't give a shit. 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb, 39% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's got to be a fucking lie. 4 out of 5 on Empire. You know what you're talking about, Empire. Let's get into the shit, man. I'm so fucking excited about this. A legendary bouncer comes to restore order at a notorious bar but runs afoul of a ruthless boss who controls the town.
It's pretty much just Roundhouse kicks and tits.
Pretty much?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Roundhouse kicks and tits.
Yeah. Patrick Swayze plays a bouncer. Well, he's not actually a bouncer. He's a cooler who's employed by one bar and then another bar, and he shows up and says, hey, you got to come to this town. I'll pay you $500 a night plus $5,000 up front if you come to this bar and you just turn it around. My bar's an absolute dive. And then he tries to do that. He tries to turn a dive bar around. Basically, he falls afoul of Ben Gazzara, plays Brad Wesley, who's the local crime boss. Falls in love with a girl called Doc, Kelly Lynch. Sam Elliott shows up, who's one of his old mates. That's pretty much it, really.
Is a cooler a common term?
Yeah. They use them in casinos a lot to try and call people that are on hot streaks.
Yeah, okay, right.
And I use one
to put my can in when I'm in, it's hot.
Put your can in, eh?
That's a cooler, isn't it?
When it's hot.
Yeah, those cooler cases things. Americans, you got this. What do they call those little cooler things that go around the cans? The Aussies and stuff.
I know what you're talking about. Coolers in America are chili bins.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, see, anyway. I've never found those foam things very practical because you drink your beer too fast anyway. I guess in Australia where, you know, it gets to 30 degrees after you're holding it for 10 seconds or whatever.
And you can't be trusted in Australia with glass because he'll glass you. Yeah. It's got to be out of cans.
Tara's actually sent us a couple of packages. One of them was a Denver Broncos bottle cooler.
Tara, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Can you just start sending stuff to me and Kahu, please?
Yeah, DM us directly. Cut Sam out. DM us directly, Tara. Thanks.
So Tara requested this. Man, so excited. Let's get into it. If you haven't read this podcast before, what we do is we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it, as I said at the start of the episode. We ask 10 that can be applied to any film. We then move into 3 personal questions and then finish on a listener question. This week's listener question was basically a question from Tara. Basically, you've done us such a solid, Tara, by sending us so many packages. I'm not going to tell you guys how many there's been, but have you noticed how fat I am? Anyway. But basically, the one that we always start with is the compliment sandwich, which is one thing good, one thing bad, and one thing good about this film. If we're going to give it a score over 5,000 throat rips, if we're going to give it a score under 5,000 throat rips, we give it a shit sandwich. Machu, lead us off, bro.
Yeah, I guess my first good thing is that this is one of my favorite best good bad movies. It's one of those movies that are quite bad, but it makes it so good. Just the dialogue, just the ridiculous things that happen, and there's basically no plot, but you sort of just keep following it because it's so just engaging. I guess the my bad thing is Most things in this movie doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like, he just walks along, he just throws the keys at some homeless dude and says, here's my car. What the fuck for? I don't understand.
Yeah. I've got no food and I can't afford gas, but here's a car. Yeah.
What do I look like, a valet? Yeah.
What am I going to do with this? I don't know how to drive. I'm drunk all the time. And the other good thing about this, oh man, the lineup of girls in this film is off the charts. They're just...
It's ridiculous, eh? It's like literally every second scene is like just some topless woman.
Yeah, you know, they go into the hospital and it's just like a hospital out of a porn film, and you think that's bad, and next thing you're in a strip club talking to Garrett.
Yeah.
And you're literally, yeah. I mean, all the girls get their kit off in this film.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. For a small town as well, you know.
I did notice that when he goes into the hospital, like literally everyone in there is a blonde under the age of 25. It's like, what the fuck? What hospital is it?
Yeah.
Sure, in our local hospital.
And you just get seen by the hottest girl that you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And you've got your arm. You're just showing her your armpit. You notice that scene where he's got his hand on his head and he's just got his ramming his armpit into her face.
Well, armpit fetishes was real sexy in the 80s, bro. Yes.
Must have been. It must have been up there with foot fetishes today.
Yeah.
Check out my pit here. Nice.
Gross. Yeah, so your score out of 10,000 throat rips.
Obviously not a hyperbole sandwich, but it's right up there. I've given this 8,554 roundhouse kicks.
Roundhouse kicks, okay. That's how we do it. What about you? What about you, Kahu?
My first good thing.
Oh, thank fucking God. Holy shit.
You don't know I could have two bad things after this.
I wanted to see the Tara one on this one.
Oh, same.
How good and how I've missed brutal 80s fight scenes.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Just so good. I mean, it sort of reminded me a little bit of, well, I mean, RoboCop was obviously that same era.
Yeah.
And they just don't give a shit. And it's like, how much can we play around with special effects here?
They're just so brutal. But then the same guys just end up fighting the whole film.
I'm
surprised Jimmy, after getting his throat ripped out, doesn't join the next fight scene.
It's amazing. There's like one rotund gentleman who gets his ass handed to him multiple times, and yet it's just seen like perfectly normal the next day.
And he's still acting tough. It turns up menacing, like, this time's the time, even though I've been beaten badly three times in a row. This fourth time is going to be something different. No, it's not, mate.
I mean, that pond there as well, that he kind of pushes Jimmy into at the end, or when they have their fight, it's like, where's he pushing him to? It's not a very big pond. He's not hiding the evidence very well.
What happened to Jimmy? Where does his body go?
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, I've got...
Yeah. Bad thing, I found the final fight a bit anticlimactic, you know?
Yeah.
You sort of never really thought that Wesley was going to beat him. I mean, you knew that wasn't going to happen anyway, but... He's like a 60-year-old man or whatever against,
jeez, he can take a bullet though, eh?
Tough 30-year-old Dalton.
Three rifle shots to the chest.
Yeah, 50 Cent ain't got nothing on this dude, man. He's getting shot. Or Tupac, he's getting fucking shotgun rounds to the chest. And what, bitch?
I'm still coming.
Yeah, I mean, the climactic fight was really the one with Jimmy.
Yeah, the fight with Jimmy, yeah.
So, and a good thing.
Oh, thank fucking Christ.
I thought the scene at the end where Dalton's choice to whether he's going to kill Wesley or not, I think they timed that very well. They sort of lingered just long enough to kind of start to put a bit of doubt in your mind.
Yeah.
I thought that was, for like a movie that really didn't have a lot of depth, I thought that was... I thought that was quite good shooting of that little bit of the scene.
Cool. Out of 10,000?
6,000 throat rips.
Fuck.
Yeah. 6,000? It was all right.
I'll
throat
rip you.
I mean, it's...
Roundhouse kick him out the fucking door, man.
Roadhouse. It's no Terminator or Aliens, but, you know, it's
two things
it's enjoyable.
You can do when someone gives a movie a shit score. You can either let it kill you, or you can kill them.
Exactly. Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
6,000's a good score.
Take it outside, Kahu.
Sweet, I don't like you guys anyway, I'm off.
It's above average.
Okay, fair enough. My first good thing, this movie fucking rocks.
Oh,
yeah. That's my first good thing. This movie just fucking rocks. Like, from the start to finish, it fucking rocks. Actually, no.
Does it rock with its country music, or is it rock?
No, it's just rocks. It's rock and roll music with the blind guitarist, Jeff Healey. He's the man. That being said, it starts to get really dark with about a third of the movie left. Like, it sort of goes from being this fun, upbeat, almost comedic film into just, oh, I've ripped out a guy's throat. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Oh, Doc's left me. Oh, my best friend's died. You should get out of town. Like, mental breakdown. I'm like, oh, this movie's taking a fucking turn.
What does he say? What does he say to Wesley when he's like, you know, he's never fucked with a guy like me before. Do you remember that?
Pretty sure that Wizzy dude's fucked a few dudes.
He's fucked with heaps of dudes.
Yeah, he's fucked with a lot of dudes, that dude. Given the way he doesn't care about his wife getting up and taking all her clothes off on the stage, he's fucked with a lot of dudes.
He's basically told every business owner to bend over. Yeah, they all have.
Yeah, exactly. Final good thing, this movie fucking rocks. Patrick Swayze, that's what makes this film, is Patrick Swayze carries this film, man. He's just fucking
so
rocks
this film.
Yeah, he's just unbelievable.
His body,
yeah, his body, his physique, his Tai Chi with his shirt off.
Yeah.
Fuck, there's
he
just
takes
so
off his pants at that one point. And
fucking... when he's strolling around with his pants off, when the girl comes over with the breakfast and he gets out naked. What are you doing to me? What am I doing to myself?
That long flowing mullet of his.
Oh. That was a bit weird, that whole bit, because she was kind of quite a main character early in the movie.
Yeah, and then she just disappeared.
And then she just disappeared. Like, you see her once.
She becomes a singer, and then she's like, yeah. Well, yeah.
You see her once in the car yard, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So as for a score, I honestly could make a shit sandwich, I could make a hyperbole sandwich, and I could make a compliment sandwich out of this one. This movie just runs the gamut. I will go 8,947 throat rip. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I watched this movie twice, two nights in a row. I watched it once by myself, and then I watched it with Stacey the next night.
Did Stacey like it?
Stacey loved it.
Yeah.
So thank you, Tara.
It's that Swayze. You're lucky he's dead, Sam.
Oh, no.
You're lucky.
You're going to be dead soon, Kurt.
He's got better hair than you.
Arsehole. Anyway, that moves us over to the first of our Patreon questions. This question comes courtesy of the amazing man that is Dan Brennick of the Netflix and Swill podcast, a podcast that is all things Netflix related. What would Dan like to know there, Machu?
Dan would like to know, who's the real MVP of this movie? And we can't use the main character for this question.
Cody.
Cody?
Yeah, the blind band singer.
Oh, you motherfucker.
Of
course it's Cody. He's the man.
He's just like the constant presence throughout the film.
What does he do? Except for hang around at the bar and
sing some mint tunes.
Not only does he sing some mint tunes, and this is the reason why I've got him down, is that in one scene there, he's playing Roadhouse by The Doors.
Yeah.
And is following Dalton, tracks him through the bar. And if you see him in the background, he's singing the song, but he's nowhere near the guitar, nowhere near the microphone, and his mouth isn't moving. That's how awesome this dude is. He's blasting out a song as a ventriloquist.
I thought it was quite kind of progressive for an 80s movie to actually have a blind musician.
Not to mention he's persisted with this bar. He's getting bottled every night. You know?
Yeah. You can't see it coming, so what's he got to be afraid of?
It's true.
No, I thought he was cool.
I had another band member. I had Carrie. Carrie,
the barmaid.
The barmaid, yeah. She she just sort of transforms in this film. She starts as this barmaid that's sort of downtrodden. And then next thing you know, she's turning up at Swayze's house, turning up at Dalton's house.
Trying to get her sway on.
Yeah, I was proud of her when she was there. I was like, go get him, girl.
Swayze's knees. Swayze's knees.
I'm looking at a dead man.
Time to engage some rigor mortis.
Yeah. And then later on you see her. She's
going to screw him to death.
Is that what she was thinking?
No, shit.
She's a black widow. Dead man.
Yeah, I'm looking at a dead man. I'm going to have sex with this man so hard he is going to die.
Oh, shit.
And then she's up there on the bar singing later on. I thought, awesome girl.
Yeah, she was my runner up. She's pretty awesome. Question number three, also a Patreon question, comes courtesy of the amazing man of this, Chris Yenny. Fuck you, the man, Chris. My book will be in the mail when you hear this. What's the question there, Kahu?
Question three, what song would you have inserted into this film and where? Machu.
All the small things when Carrie sees Dalton get out of bed. No. I had
You definitely got to put Blink 182 all the small things into this. Yeah. Fuck you, Liz. That's the reason why. That's a good one. Yeah, I was tossing up between I'm on the Road to Nowhere by Talking Heads or Highway to Hell by AC/DC, aka all the stupid songs that we seem to bring up again. So I'm going to go with something else. I'm going to go with On the Road Again. Because it's the only road song that I don't think we've used, and there's a scene where he's driving on the road again to his next bar, so that just makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, you say that, and that kind of triggered my mind. Rawhide, you know, like Blues Brothers, when they're chucking the things at the band. But
oh, that's perfect, because they're behind a cage as well.
Yeah. Same kind of symmetry there. But no,
anything you say now is not going to be as good as that, so you might as well go, yep, that's my song.
Nah, I'm going with Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty.
Exactly, it's not as good as
When creepy Brad Wesley is spying on them off his deck.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what a creep.
Nice little fucking...
How does the song go again, then?
It's got the saxophone. It's all...
Do, 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 do. Does it go like that?
You know the one.
All right, we got it.
Let's never repeat that.
Classic sax. Classic sax.
Moves it over to our next question, also a Patreon question. This question comes courtesy of the amazing man, this Dave Baker. Dave has his own Patreon as well at patreon.com/yourfavorite. On it, he posts a cornucopia of creative content ranging from pro samples to curated YouTube recommendations, because hashtag beat the algorithm, from YouTube video essays to written essays on Medium. Yeah, follow the link and check it out. And what Dave would like to know is, which two characters from this film would you guys want with you at your house party? Is there actually two here, guys?
I think there's like most of these characters you could take to a house party.
Oh, for about half an hour until they fucking kick the shit out of everyone there.
Yeah. I'd go for Wade and Doc, as long as I can keep them apart.
Yeah, they're pretty horny for each other. Yeah, well, Wade, one of them's horny for the other one, at least.
Wade's a bit of a pest, but he'd be a good guy to have around to kick out the, you know, the Doc people you don't want there.
Yeah.
Doc likes an older man, eh? She used to go out with Wesley, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did talk about that.
Sort of flossed over that, or whether Wesley had a crush on her and she was sort of ran away from town, became a doctor and came back. Sure.
Yeah,
most
people
run away from town, develop a crippling drug addiction. She ran away from town, became a doctor, and then came back again.
Yeah. with the dominant guy in town, just because he's not going to bother her again.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I had Denise, because, man, she's a party girl. Definitely want her there.
Yeah.
As long as Jimmy's nowhere near, and obviously Wesley can't come.
Yeah.
But Denise, play her a song. She's always up for a dance.
You know those guys are going to come anyway. They're going to stroll into your bar if they burn down a building and then start shooting a gun off in the house.
I don't know. It only happened in every scene that she was in. She never got left alone. But I reckon there'll be this one time. And the other one I'd have is Tillman, because how much money does that dude have?
Yeah.
Like, he just came into money, and he pays Dalton $500 a night. $500 a night in 1987 or 1989 or something?
Yeah.
Fuck, that must be like $1 million a year. Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you came into money, would you buy a roadhouse bar?
Would you just pay Patrick Swayze to come and hang out with you?
Sorry, are you trying to say, would I pay 1989 Patrick Swayze $500 a night to hang out with you? I know what you're going to say to that. Hey, I need you to come to this town with me. I'm going to give you $5,000 up front and $500 a night. I can see why you picked him now, actually.
Tillman,
he wants his money. I can see where it comes from. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Sam Elliott's character, Wade, he's the man. He knows how to party. At the same time, he's like, he's not as like highly strung as Dalton.
Yeah.
But he's a creep. He's a little creep.
Oh, he's like a fun creep, though, compared to Wesley, who's just a creep.
Yeah, I still hang out with you.
But I'm a fun creep, too.
You're a funny creep. There's a difference. And the other one, I mean, the barmaid. She's awesome, man. She's a triple threat. She's like kind of cute in a nerdy way. She knows how to make drinks, and she can sing.
Is this Carrie?
Yeah, Carrie.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome.
If you're having karaoke, you should be like awesome at that. She could be making people cocktails and shit.
Oh, would I still give her up to Denise?
Carrie Ann. She'd
be up there. She kind of looks like Velma out of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Velma's hot now, apparently. Everyone reckons Velma's hot. That's the internet for you.
Cartoon characters, people. That's definitely...
Shows those feet.
It's not Velma, it's Jasmine, Aladdin.
Jesus Christ.
Who's the one of the Little Mermaid?
Ariel.
Ariel, yeah.
I find it incredibly awkward you talking about redheads. When my wife's inside. Anyway, the question number 5. Also, Patreon question comes courtesy of Julio of the Contrarians podcast. That Rage Against the Rotten Tomatoes machine. So basically, they take a universally beloved or hated film and argue the opposite. Anyway, what would he like to know there, Machu?
What's your most controversial opinion about this film?
Patrick Swayze goes too far into the brooding tough guy role.
What?
Like, I think he just... Especially after
it's controversial and then it's fucking insane. And I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Especially after he rips Jimmy's throat out and he's like, my world's ending.
I'm so sad for killing him.
Yeah.
Okay, no,
I'm such
it.
A bad man.
No.
Whereas,
why? Why?
I killed a guy who had a gun pointed at my face.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas.
Why does he cry about it?
Yeah.
2 seconds later, he's yelling at the neighbor.
Here he is.
Yeah. he just tried to kill.
Adrian!
Like he just tried to kill the friendly old man that he was staying with. And yeah.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He's all cut up about killing Jimmy. I'm like, bro. Compared to Wade, who steals the film from Patrick Swayze in parts, he's like the fun tough guy.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I can't disagree with you too much because that was the part of the film I was talking about at the start, which is like pretty dark and brooding and
That's right.
Fun anymore.
Yeah. Although, give Swayze his props. He tackles a dude off a motorbike.
Yeah.
How sweet is that? I mean, everybody's wanted to do that to somebody at some point in time.
I've never thought about it in my entire life, but yeah, sure.
Oh, I dream about it every night.
I'm never riding a motorbike past you, Kahu.
If you knock one of those motorbike riders off, man, they'd probably give you a big hiding, eh? Just like Jimmy probably would. Yeah, doesn't he fuck guys in prison?
Save that for later. Save that for later.
He tackles him shirtless too, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's been fighting him shirtless outside. Oh, no, he chases him up. Yeah. And then he goes running outside.
Because the house blows up.
The house blows up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. What a man, Patrick Swayze. What a man.
Just what a hell of a man. It explodes. What kind of houses explode?
Let's talk about that later. Ones that fucking hillbilly old farmers have made.
It's all that propane.
Yeah, yeah. This isn't going to sound controversial, but it is because there's a lot of other contenders. I'm going to say that the sex scene in this is probably the worst sex scene in film history.
Oh.
It is so awkward.
Why? He does that whole slow finger thing up her long legs to pull up her dress.
Yeah, but she honestly looks like she's having like a like at the dentist or something. She's just like sort of like, what's going on?
Because it's, you know, because it's Swayze. He's just got the donkey.
She's got the donkey. What's your answer, Machu?
It's because that scene.
I've got nothing to say there. What the fuck is your answer, Machu?
It's because that scene was missing more Baker Street. That's why.
Well, I've just got to say, like, it's the probably one of the worst relationships I've ever seen in film history. You know, like, he shows up at the hospital, stab wounds and all this other shit, and she's just like, oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, you should come check out the bar. And then she shows up at, like, closing. And then they go off and hook up. And then the next time they see each other, it's like, ooh, let's have the most awkward sex scene ever. It was horrendous.
It was all right.
I mean, he's got to live somewhere.
Anywho, he moves over to the next of our Patreon questions. This question comes courtesy of the amazing woman is Emily Higgins. Emily runs the Tasteless podcast, a podcast that compares two movies, one that is universally beloved, to another film that she thinks is better and doesn't get the love it deserves. And what's her question there, Kahu?
Yeah, thanks, Emily. What side character would have the best spin-off movie?
Have we all got the same answer? Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Sam Elliott.
Right.
It's got to be his origin story.
Yeah, Wade the Bouncer, man. He is like supposedly the creme de la creme. I don't know how all these bouncers communicate with each other. Apparently they've got a fucking bouncer internet back in 1989 where they're like, hey, this guy is the man. Sweet, okay. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to tell every other guy I know in the world.
I'm going to throw a question in here. Who are you more harder for? Sam Elliott or Dalton?
Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Holy
Sam Elliott.
Shit, Sam Elliott is sexy in this film.
How old is that guy? He is old in this film, and he's still going around making films. Is he like 80 or something?
Oh,
like,
he's still alive, and Patrick Swayze isn't.
Just fucking fell out of my chair.
Delete that.
R.I.P.
Okay, Sam Elliott.
That's not getting deleted, though.
Sam Elliott it is.
He just gets stabbed
I'm
less.
For Sam Elliott.
He gets, he's better at self-protection.
He's the man.
Until
he
gets shot.
Until he gets stabbed in these wrong coin toss.
Until he dies.
Oh, yeah. He gets stabbed, yeah.
He gets stabbed less. Except for the one time where it's...
Not very good reasoning.
Yeah. Next question, also a Patreon question. Comes
Wait a minute. I didn't get...
No, you agreed with us.
No. It's Brad Wesley. Brad Wesley. He would.
Oh, what a surprise. You have an affinity to the dude that likes fucking with people.
But he's awesome. He goes around. He does crazy stuff all the time. It makes people ride monster trucks through buildings, and he does all sorts of cool stuff. Has mad parties at his house.
He's pretty much like Johnny Knoxville before, like, but like, just with no care for the law whatsoever.
Yeah. And he's basically an old Johnny Knoxville.
You could have the story about Wade meeting Dalton, how that went down.
Was that in like Jasper or whatever? He's self-defending or Memphis or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, who cares?
Oh, yeah, the epic courtroom drama of
and he teaches
Dalton.
The self-defense case.
Yeah, Sam yeah. Elliott
she
teaches him to do this.
She never told you she was married.
Yeah. I'll show you the throat rip.
Who comes up with that, eh? Who sits there one day and goes, hey, here's a really good self-defense technique. I'll rip their throat out.
To protect myself and... But they might die.
Yeah.
They might die. They definitely die. You can't live without a throat, eh?
Hey, I'm doing all right without a neck.
Just shoulders and a head.
Just shoulders and a head. Too true. Moves us over to our next question, which is also a Patreon question, comes courtesy of the amazing man that is Nick Haskins, formerly of Epic Film Guys, now of Mr. Nikolai's Kitchen. And what Nick would like to know is, how could this movie have been rewritten into a Shakespearean comedy or a tragedy?
I heard Doc could run in just before they kill Wesley. She could run in and stab Dalton in the side like Ooh. Miranda in Dark Knight Rises.
That's an answer?
Yeah. And then it's like a painful twist. It is like... She's
been working for him all along?
Yeah, I've been working for him all along and now I've stabbed you. And he could be like, I stabbed you first.
That's a pretty good comedy, bro. I like that. What do you got, Tony?
It's a tragedy comedy.
I had the same scene, but different scenario. I didn't go quite as dark as much you did. So Doc intervenes to stop Dalton killing Wesley, but then in that sort of brief moment, Wesley's able to kill her. And so broody old Dalton has to live with that guilt for the rest of his life. No skinny dipping for him.
I just had it with the movie ending with the FBI raiding the town and being like, what the fuck is going on in this town? Yeah, arresting every single person there.
Yeah.
Doc loses her medical license and Swade is just sitting in jail doing Tai Chi in a prison cell.
Yeah, like basically everybody who survives is culpable for murder.
Yes, absolutely. At least.
Yeah.
At fucking least.
Yeah.
This movie fucking rocks!
Yeah. Some people for grievous bodily harm followed by murder when you rip somebody's throat out.
Moves it over to question number 8, which is a new question that I'm trying out just to see what happens. What is it there, Machu? Oh, I get to go last, yes.
What two characters are the other two podcasters' spirit animals? I'm fairly sure I get to go last, Sam.
God damn it, he does!
Well, fine, I'll go first. Machu, you're definitely Wesley. You're the businessman.
Yes.
As long as
I get to go out with Denise.
Don't blow up his ego, man. You'll get
I'm
your
so rich.
Armor in the end.
Come to my house and have a party in my pool, everyone, and we could go flying around in my helicopter.
True.
And Sam is Steve. Because Sam doesn't want to be doing anything work-related on his breaks.
Oh, that dude, he's mad. Are you talking about the bartender that's out the back having sex with a... woman.
Yeah, in the storeroom or whatever.
I'm on my break.
Yeah.
Stay on your break.
Yeah. Ah, shit. Yes, I'll take Steve. He's not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. Kahu, you are going to be the sheriff. You know, at the end after there's a massive shootout and he's like, did you see anything? Did you see anything? And he's like, oh, who cares?
Yeah, where's the sheriff been this whole time?
But he's on Wesley's payroll, so I'm thinking that guy. Right. He's just like, yeah, whatever, I don't care, I'm done.
Yeah,
less paperwork, let's go.
Push everybody into the lake.
And Machu, I actually thought of you while watching this movie because I was like, my God, that guy is just like Machu. At one point there's a dude in a bar with a blonde and he says to this one random dude, hey, I'll let you kiss him for $20. And the guy goes, $20?
Am I the $20 guy?
Because absolutely you are. You're the dude that comes over and starts playing with him. He's like, well, what are you going to do, mister? Are you going to kiss him? And Machu goes, Chisholm, I don't even have $20.
I'd have $20, but I'd see that.
Exactly. It's someone who's notorious for getting into taxis and going, how much for a ride home? $30. Okay, cool. And then arguing the whole way. You are such the dude.
Oh, yeah. That's me. The Gretchen Groper.
The Gretchen Groper. Just getting in as many fields.
All right. I had, so Kahu, I had you as Cody. Oh, the cool. blind singer. Yeah, he's every likable fella. Like everyone gets along. He just sort of plotters away every now and then. And then Sam, I had you as Red. You know,
Red,
beard, bald, surly.
Are you gonna say that
surly, Shirley?
Been divorced by an ugly wife. What are you trying to say here? What are you trying to say here, about you?
Yeah, at a store.
I've got a hot niece? What the fuck?
Do you? Shit.
Did he own a store?
You're not finding out about it.
Now you're Red, Sam. keep calling Stacey Ginger Princess, but you're Red.
Now I'm Red.
Those old white guys all look the same.
You know that Red Webster, do you know who he was played by?
Red West.
Red West, yeah. Okay, they've got the same first name, but then the last name is Webster and West. Like, seriously?
Yeah. They should have just said, as himself.
Like, what was it going to be? Like, Steven and Stevenson?
Yeah.
Red Stevenson. You know, like, how close could you be? Well, I'm going to have trouble on this damn set here, not knowing what my name is. Well, we're going to call you Red Webster. Ooh, shit, okay.
Yeah, I think I could do it. I think I can stay in character.
I think I can handle that.
Red Tanner. Who the fuck's that? That's you, mate.
You fucking moron. You're the only other dude in the scene.
Fuck, that's my first name, but I didn't recognize my second name.
Moves us over to question number 9. What is it there, Kahu?
What quote from this film would be the worst thing to hear just after you finish having sex?
I feel like we've all got one that's probably circling at the top of our list.
Yeah. It's like the movie was made for this question.
Oh, it absolutely was. And there's so many good answers. But I'm just going to go, I thought you'd be bigger.
Yeah, that's it.
I thought you'd be bigger.
Unanimous.
What about, I used to fuck guys like you in prison?
What about, what's the matter?
That's pretty bad.
That's a good one. But I think the I thought you'd be bigger one just stands out because it's said by, I think, maybe 3 different characters throughout the movie.
Yeah, Cody, Tillman, I can't remember who the other one was.
Sam Elliott.
Oh, Sam Elliott even jokes about it, yeah.
Yeah.
I had, what's the matter, chicken dick? Who are you afraid of? Me? That'd be bullshit.
Great answer there, guys. Moves us down to our last question. Question number 10. That can be applied to any film. What was the biggest dick move of the movie? Can we rule out Weasley? Because his whole existence...
Everything he does is a dick move.
Is a massive dick move.
Yeah, like everything. He bashes Denise. He's swerving all over the road.
Yeah.
Uses his helicopter to scare the horses.
Getting that guy to drive a monster truck through another guy's car, blowing up buildings.
Yeah, I mean, that was my guy one.
He is just a dick move.
I had Dalton ruining that dude's, or Steve's, bloody break. He's on a break, man. Far out.
I had Steve, because he was doing a pretty big dick move at that point.
That was a good dick move.
It's Steve's fault. He should have locked the door.
It was a better dick move than Dalton's dick move.
Yeah.
With Doc.
Just true. What about Sam Elliott's Wade just like dancing up a storm and then saying to Dalton while he's like hooking up with Doc or whatever, he's like, a woman that intelligent should not have an ass like that. It's just like, what?
How close does he get while dancing to her? He's just like all over her. And Dalton's like brooding. Like you say, Carl, he's just brooding into the distance. Meanwhile, his partner's getting like fully frisked up. And
he's
all hands and holy hell.
And I find it hard to believe that Patrick Swayze doesn't have those dancing moves.
It's true. Let's be honest. We've seen Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Plus Sam Elliott showing up and Dalton's getting his ass handed to him. He just stands there and watches him for a bit.
Yeah.
Got this under control there, Dalton, or whatever. It's just like, what the fuck is... What? Why are you watching your friend get hit?
Yeah.
What about when Sam takes off his pants to show, he unzips his pants to show a scar on his hip? Just pull down the side of your pants. Yeah. You don't need to undo your zip right next to show your pubes just so she can see your hip.
I still want to see the side movie, but he was a bit of a dick in this film.
Doc doesn't she doesn't try to really push him away at all, though.
That's true. Old, like, yeah, she doesn't. She doesn't really. Like, she's just like.
She's got a smile on her face the whole time.
Goes along with it. Doesn't care.
What about old Muchie's dick move when he doesn't have $20? A bastard. And he definitely does have $20.
You're kidding.
I got no $20.
That wasn't. What about?
I need a drink. That drink costs $20. Here you go.
What about when the owner of the car yard says to Red, he's like, "You got insurance, don't you?" And then, like, two scenes later, Red's like, "You got insurance, don't you?" It's like,
fuck you, Sam.
Fuck you, ass.
Fuck you, Red Sam.
Red Sam.
You got insurance, don't you?
Insurance, don't
Samson
you?
Samson there brooding. Over
yeah,
there.
Yeah. Just waiting for my little payback. Yeah, he was me. Just sitting there biding my time, waiting for the perfect chance to be an asshole. Yeah, that guy totally was me. Anyway, moves us over to personal questions. Machu, you're up.
My first question is, Dalton has three rules for bouncers. One, never underestimate your opponent. Two, take it outside. And three, be nice. So what would your three rules be for bouncers?
Yeah, basically my first one is throw out any dudes who challenge you to an arm wrestle. So if you're a bouncer and you're standing there and they try, this dude just comes up to you out of the blue, drunk out of his head, and says, "Hey, I want to have an arm wrestle," you throw him out. Next nope. one is on the way in, you say to them, "Hey, what's your favorite movie?" And if they go, "My favorite movie is Commando," then you throw them out of the bar. And then number three, when you're checking their ID, if their name's Machu, then you throw them out of the bar. So basically, I don't want any Machus in my bar, is what I'm saying.
That guy over there, his name's Machu? Oh, no Machus. He's allowed one.
You're allowed one. I thought you were going to say.
Cincinnati, like no Homers or whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, but what about Homer of Siegfried?
Yeah, no Homer.
We're allowed one.
I thought you were going to say, don't let anybody in that has a sober face that looks exactly the same as their drunk face.
That's a good one. That's also a good one.
My three are wear a tight shirt so everybody can see how ripped you are.
What? Oh, I'm fired.
Carry your medical records with you.
Ooh,
just in case.
Yep, yes. Yep.
And number three, have a killer death stare so people know you mean business.
Let's go outside.
Yeah. And then you don't even have to speak and they understand you to keep it chill.
You'd shit your pants if you saw Patrick Swayze staring at you, eh?
Oh, fuck yeah. You'd do, and all the girls cream their pants.
Like, we've already said it, but how dumb do you have to be these guys who see Patrick Swayze, like, ripping people apart and they think, yeah, I could totally take him?
I mean, he's...
But over and over and over again!
Yeah. I mean, at least Wade is often referred to as Wade Garrett. Dalton is just referred to as Dalton. Like,
yeah.
What's his first name? What's his first name?
James, I
Ooh,
think.
Dilly.
Dilly Dalton. You know if
sure,
a
dude... why not?
You know if a dude's got one name that he's going to wreck you.
Oh, like, yeah, like Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah. The supremely talented at one thing.
Or Eminem.
Yeah. Just don't mess with him.
Madonna.
Sure.
Cher.
Shaq.
Ooh, okay. Now you're pulling it back.
Big humans. Wouldn't mess with them.
True.
Okay, number...
Adele. Pink. <Adele-y. laughs> How many more people could we name that only have one name?
Elvis.
Yeah, true.
No, he's more trust people that only have one name, eh?
No.
Untrustworthy. Question number 12. Should Dalton have just left Jasper like everyone told him to? Like, what the fuck was he doing there?
Well, let's point out at this point that they're not actually in Jasper. They talked about Jasper being the place that he killed someone in self-defense. Yeah. But I think Machu implies the town where most of this film is set, to which I reply, fuck yes, he should have got the fuck out of town. This isn't his fight. He's costing people's houses left and fucking right and businesses and shit.
It's getting basically paid $1 million a year.
Mm,
just leave.
True, yeah.
Go get another job.
Just rob Tillman Blind and then Scarpa. Where's Tillman getting all the money?
Why didn't he just work for Wesley? It would have been so much easier.
Yeah, and then just throat rip Wesley in his sleep.
He's a man of principles. You see him doing his like Tai Chi and stuff.
Yeah, and he's got a PhD in philosophy from NYU.
And then he straight up murders two dudes. How many principled people murders people?
To be fair, they deserved it.
Why? Yeah.
Well, I don't
because
know about
he got
the first
himself
guy,
into a situation
but,
where he had to kill him.
But Jimmy was psychotic. I mean, Doc was
I
there as
Jimmy
well.
Was quite
so
reasonable. What are you on about?
Of course, he was going to stay there for Doc.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She was intelligent, and she had an ass like that. So, as Wade often says in this film.
Okay, and my last question number 13: why is the bar called the Double Deuce?
Have we got the same answer?
Jeez, I hope not. I think somebody forgot the if it's brown, flush it down rule. Hence, somebody went for seconds and the double deuce.
Are they just read a conserving water. So everyone, if you do a deuce, you have to do one more.
Well, it did look a little bit
every
like
toilet. It's got to at least have two
plumbing
deuces.
Has to get pushed along.
And parts, it did look like a bit of a dusty old town around
some water restrictions
around the double deuce. So yeah,
there's been a bit of a drought.
Maybe it's like a scheduled flush every half hour or something.
If it's yellow, let it mellow. If yeah, it's brown.
It just piled up, and that's why it's the double deuce. The double deuce.
I mean, that's honestly, it's got to be why it is. It's somebody that was in the bar going, "This bar is twice as shit as any other bar I've ever been in
my
life."
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what else can you explain it?
Yeah. The town, one
two dudes were found taking a shit together in the middle of the dance floor, and they're like, "Well, there's the fucking bar name."
Terrible name all round.
Double deuce, say. The double shit.
Who honestly?
Like the shit bar.
Like yeah, the shit bar. Yeah. Why would anyone in their right mind
this
try and name
so shit? We're gonna call it shit.
It's exponentially shit. That's why we're naming this bar the double juice.
I mean, surely if Tillman's paying Dalton $500 a night or something to clean up his bar, you know, a good first step would be to rename it to anything like the Dusty Bowl or whatever.
The
you
Dusty
know?
Bowl?
I don't know, because it's all dusty in the car park.
And then, like, as the movie
anything.
Goes on, they
anything.
Start to
yeah.
they start to take down the barbed wire in front of the band. So just call it the single deuce, say. This the single deuce.
Zero juice.
Yeah, yeah.
We are now the no juices.
Yeah, no deuce.
No deuce.
Advantage. We're advantage. Advantage, Dalton.
Anyway, that moves me over to my questions. Obviously, this movie is very much an 80s movie. I want to know from you guys, what do you reckon dated it the most? Like, what gave it away that this film is definitely set in the 80s?
Oh, is that like the fighting? Like, the fight? Like Sam Elliott, is he the worst? Has he had a fight in his life? Did you see him fight? Far out. Like, even... like if it
I think getting out of bed every morning for him was a fight by the look of it. Yeah, yeah.
Like, if it wasn't, it wasn't as bad watching Dalton's bloody roundhouse kicks and realising, you know, we just ripped off bloody Chuck Norris. The next thing you know, Sam Elliott turns up and does the worst impression of a tough guy I've ever seen in my life. Like, a cool guy. He is fucking cool. A tough guy, he's definitely a lover, not a fighter.
He definitely fights like Frankenstein's monster, eh? Just like shambling around.
There was a lot of forearm punches in this movie, eh? Like, you know how they, like the missed punch and it looks like they get them with the forearm.
I've just got to hand it to the rather large individual that was a henchman. I loved him because they had fight scenes of him in it and it was clearly obvious this guy had never thrown a punch his entire life.
Yeah, he was
but
useless.
But he was still doing the man. He was putting his back into it. He was getting kicked through windows, sure, but he was still having a go at it.
Yeah, he got his knee crunched by Wade.
Yeah, he was awesome.
What dates this movie? The pink neon long credits to begin with. That's just so 80s. You don't, never see that anymore. Although in Drive it had a bit of a nice comeback. But yeah, it was like that 80s
sort of like,
font. And
was it Tom Cruise one? Cocktail?
Yeah, cocktail. Like it was like that cocktail font. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I'm going to give it to Macho on that one because the other thing too is like just man on female violence.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see that. I mean, aside from maybe superhero movies, you don't see just some girl
just
getting punched out by some dude. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You know, there's a scene where they walk in and they see Denise and she's been bashed. She's literally been bashed.
And he's just like,
and it's
well.
Just like, everyone look away. Don't look at her. Like, she looks away and that's all. Nothing happens. No one even says it. They're like, that happened. Oh, well.
Yeah, exactly.
That's okay.
It's not okay.
The fucking 80s, eh?
The 80s, it was just like, oh, well, yep. Dalton couldn't give it two flying shits about that.
Yeah.
Two double shits. Couldn't give two double shits about that, but then, yeah, gets pissed off at the other stuff.
Do you reckon you'd see today, like, a guy's girlfriend in a bar, and then she's got a minor, and she just gets dragged out of the bar by some dude. Does that still happen?
Like in real life?
Like, for example, I'm out with Stacey and she's hitting on some dude and I just drag her out of the bar and said, don't do that, Stacey.
I think the bar would kick the shit out of you, wouldn't they?
Yeah. And then Stacey would cruise off.
Probably, yeah. No comment. We have a very happy and fulfilling love life, which makes me not offended by this because I'm just not taking it personal. What if he calls my mum a whore? Is she?
Is she?
Be nice, Sam. Be nice.
You're going to be nice.
Until it's time. What if I until it's time to not be nice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dalton's a bit of a shithead. Only he gets to decide when not to be nice.
Yeah, exactly. Sends his flunkies in to get their asses handed to him. Yeah. And he just hangs back and... Oh, yeah.
Who put you in charge?
Anywho, moves me over to my next question. What henchman was just flat out useless?
It's the big guy, the mountain.
Yeah.
Fuck, he sucks, eh?
He's hopeless. Like, talk about not using your natural advantages. Wade just blimmin' punches him in the nuts and then kicks him in the knee and he's down.
The oldest man in the world. He's a perpetual 80-year-old, isn't he? Like, he's just never been younger than 80 and he still takes down the biggest dude on set.
You know, you guys aren't talking about the big round dude that shot the polar bear at the end.
No.
Come on.
Not the henchman who was alive.
Come on. It's got to be the henchman that's alive. He says a polar bear gets slowly pushed towards him and he just stands there going, oh, whoa, yeah. And then pulls a gun out, shoots the polar bear about 5 times. Whoa. And then the polar bear lands on him. He's got like 20 seconds to take half a step to the left and get avoided
maybe
a fucking
just put
polar
his hands
bear.
Up and stop the bear. Right?
Yeah.
It's probably not that heavy. It's stuffed.
Like, what is wrong with this dude? Like, he's got a massive fear of polar bears. Because, oh my god!
It's not like it's the first time there. He's been there. That's where he hangs out. That's his work.
It legitimately was like the scene out of Austin Powers when he's coming at the guy with a roller, and the guy's like, ah! And he's like, move, just move out of the way. And he's like, ah! It was like that. Like, you watch it again, it takes him a good 20 seconds to just get planted by a
like I said,
stuffed polar bear.
Shit in this movie does not make sense.
In his defense, though.
Fucking rocks, though.
He is pretty much the only henchman that's alive at the end. So
So he's probably the best henchman.
Yeah, that's
good
right.
Point. That's a good point. Moves me over to my final question. So, yeah, as we mentioned, at one point, Dalton goes to the porn hospital, which he's treated by Doc. And then Doc says, what is it? It's just a bloody porn set. He gets treated by Doc, and Doc's like saying, oh, this must hurt or something like that. And he just basically says, pain don't hurt. So what do you reckon, guys? Does pain hurt?
Is it fucking oxymoron?
Like, yeah.
Or just a moron?
Of like, course it hurts.
Just a moron.
Yeah. He's missing brain cells and nerves and shit. That's why he says it doesn't hurt. Of course pain hurts.
Shot repeatedly, stabbed repeatedly, stitches himself up. Pain don't hurt.
It's like that dumb thing where people say pain is just fear leaving the body. That's bullshit. Pain is just hurt.
Yeah, it's
it hurts.
Like nerve sending an electrical signal to your brain to go, ah! Yeah.
None of this convincing yourself otherwise that you're a tough guy. It hurts. Yeah.
It's legitimately just telling your body something is not right and you need to do something about this.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all it is. Pain don't hurt. You fucking moron.
Can we just call this part the biggest dick move in the film? Like, pain don't hurt.
It's a stupid tough guy.
You could say it's a dick move because he's trying to get his dick moving.
And his dick does get moving.
That's true. Anywho, Kahu, what do you got?
Right, my first question. Why is there a person watching Dalton and Doc skinny dipping at the end?
This is basically the final scene of the movie, right? They jump into
a pretty
pond
much.
And there's some dudes.
It's kind of a montage with Cody playing at the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'd been to the hospital, that's somewhere that I'd like to take a picnic, watching Doc skinny dip.
Sure. Yeah,
okay,
sure.
So that's why Machu would be there.
Why wouldn't you be there? Jeez, live action scene. Dude. Why are they? The bigger question is, why are they allowing him to be there? Dalton's the toughest guy in town, and he's like, "Hey, bro, just having a picnic."
Yeah. Like,
go ahead and have kisses and naked cuddles and.
Yeah, obviously, if that guy's there first, he's just minding his own business. But then they still go skinny dipping, like just weird, and then clearly more than skinny dipping.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got the answer to this, right? Like, imagine if you're sitting in whatever the local big city is, and you're an insurance assessor, and you start getting through claims for buildings blowing up repetitively in this one town. And this one guy is the only guy that has been at the scene of the crime for all of them. That's what that guy is in the background. He's an insurance assessor that's gone to this town, is following Dalton around to work out why all these buildings start fucking blowing up whenever he's near them.
This isn't Fight Club, Sam. This isn't Fight Club.
Yeah, he is. It's Edward Norton out of Fight Club. He's just following this dude around to work out why all these buildings are blowing up.
Yeah.
What, 10 building town? 3 of them have been blown up? Yeah.
Have you got insurance?
I'll tell you what, I actually took out insurance after this.
Yeah, you'd think that guy would do a creepy Wesley and just sit over the other side of the lake. My second question, which film has the best choose a life for the protagonist scene? Is it this film, Roadhouse, Spider-Man, The Dark Knight, or another film?
So by choose a life, you mean it comes up to the main character to choose the fate of one character.
Yeah, choose the fate of one of the people who are close to them.
I like how you've thrown down Roadhouse, Spider-Man, and Dark Knight, and it's like one of these films is probably one of the best films that's ever been made. It's in my top five of all time. Yeah. And then the other two are Spider-Man and Dark Knight. So I'm like, of course it's fucking Roadhouse. Nah, of course it's Dark Knight. It's Dark Knight. It's got to be Dark Knight. You know, the twist being that the one that he thinks he's saving isn't the one he's saving. But Batman, in his like haste, he lets his emotions take over. He's the world's greatest detective. But in his haste, he should have known that the Joker would never be that straightforward. He would have known the Joker would have played some shit and sending him to the wrong one. Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't think. He goes to it. It's fucking awesome. Dark Knight rules. Oh, I fucking love that film.
But also, it's a double downer. So Katie Holmes dies, and also
Maggie Gyllenhaal. She's been replaced.
So Katie Holmes dies. Fuck, I need to drink some more.
I love how you had a second attempt at it after he told you off, and you still got wrong.
Yeah, so Katie Holmes dies, and then
and then
we get Two-Face. So it's like a double downer.
Exactly. Yeah. Got to be Dark Knight. And Joker's free. It's a twist. Win-win-win. Yeah, you know, Joker escapes using that bomb that dude's stomach.
Out of the three films, though, Roadhouse, the two characters at stake are much closer to him than the two characters in any of the other films. So, moving on.
Roadhouse rocks, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
this is a movie that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
No one in this movie has any got to use a knife, and then next thing, one person just stabs him in the back. Who was the dude? Who do you reckon stabbed him in the back?
It was in the stomach, wasn't it?
Wasn't he stabbed in the front?
Oh, I don't remember.
He was stabbed in the stomach, and then he went to sleep on the bar, and then he got stabbed again.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the guy running around doing all the stabbing? Jimmy? Was he still alive at that point?
Yeah,
he was. Jimmy it would have been Jimmy. He was
I think Jimmy said it was him. Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole thing didn't make sense when Wade came like stumbling into the bar all beaten up, and Dalton's just like, you'll be fine. You can like barely walk, but I'll go save Doc.
Yes.
You'll be okay.
Stay here, have a beer, sleep it off. Where's all the rest of the bar stuff?
Yeah. By yourself.
By yourself. Who? With some random stragglers coming to town that's mates with Dalton. Oh, yeah, we'll just leave him alone in the bar. Come on, man.
Yeah.
No, this movie rocks. Stop talking me out of this shit. 12,000. I'm up to 12,000 for this film so far.
This is my last question. Where's the best place in this movie for a classic Wilhelm scream?
For those that don't know the Wilhelm scream, it is a common sound effect that is played in nearly every film. I'm going to insert a clip of it right now.
I would say when Jimmy gets his throat ripped out. And then,
because people could really scream when they had their throat ripped out.
It's when Doc comes running down and does the big scream.
Oh, yeah, I love it when girls scream in a masculine voice.
She's got a deep voice.
I'm going with old mate gets kicked through that window when they're fighting inside the thing. You know, after they confront Tillman and they're basically saying to Tillman, nah, you need to employ, you know, Weasley's cousin or whoever he is, or nephew.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, I don't know. And then Dalton shows up and hands their ass to them. You know that scene where he kicks the old mate through the window?
That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Got to involve some falling.
Connor or whatever the guy's name is.
Oh, yeah, Connor.
Oh, Mr. Useless.
It's the useless.
Connor, not for real.
I'm sorry, Bowles.
I'm sorry, Bowles.
I'm sorry, Bowles.
I'm sorry, Bowles.
Bowles, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Bowles.
Anyway. Bowles. It sounds so cool to say Bowles. Bowles.
Like a Bowles.
Like a Bowles. Anyway, Bowles. Takes us down to the final question, which was, as I mentioned, a question from Tara about this film that she wanted us to settle. So who do you guys reckon would win in a fist fight between Dalton from this film, Roadhouse, Bodie from Point Break, and Johnny from Dirty Dancing? Okay, Patrick Swayze's three most famous characters, except for one other one, but how's a ghost going to win a fist fight?
Well, did you see in that film how he learned to kick the bucket?
Picked up the coin.
Yeah, and he gave those guys the bash.
You'd probably come back from the afterlife to hook up with Demi Moore in 1990, wouldn't you? The same.
I'd jump into
even short-haired Demi.
Yeah. Short-haired Demi's hot.
Mm. What do you reckon? Who's going to win?
Johnny, obviously, from Dirty Dancing.
What? Come on.
No way.
He would kick Dalton's ass. You know this.
There's a lot of empty cans beside you. You're going to listen back to this and go, well, shut the fuck up. No, I wouldn't.
Well, someone had to say something different than Dalton because, you know.
Okay, so you're going with Johnny from Dirty Dancing. Who are you going with?
I'm going with Dalton purely because
of... Oh, boring.
No. Process of elimination. Dirty Dancing, I'm just like, he's not going to kick anybody's ass.
He kicks everyone's ass.
And like, do you want to know something?
You've never seen Point Break.
I've never seen Point Break.
A better question would have been, who would score more girls? Definitely Dalton.
Yeah.
I think Dalton's going to be, who'd be the better dancer? Dalton. Yeah. Who'd be the better fighter? Dalton. Who'd score more chicks? Dalton.
Who's a better surfer? Dalton.
I don't know, but fucking Bodie probably paddled to New Zealand, man.
Who's got the better hair, Dalton or Wade?
Yeah, Wade.
Or Wade.
Wade's the answer for everything as well.
Yeah. Who did you have, Sam?
Oh, it's Bodie.
Bodie.
Yeah, I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to go with Bodie.
That has to be all the way different.
Bodie has like crazy energy about him. You know, like he's nuts. And I reckon they'll just tip him in his favour sort of thing.
He's more nuts than Dalton.
Yeah, bro. He's insane. How lives on the edge.
How many throats he ripped out?
Oh.
You know, Dalton's like the MacGyver of... He doesn't have a gun. What the fuck's wrong with him? Get a gun.
I feel like Bodie would... fight to the death properly.
Yeah, but
like,
he
I know Dalton
actually
does.
Kills people with his
what
bare
do you want
hands.
To argue with you? You said Johnny. where's this argument going?
But he does that. He's got hips. He's got those hips.
Fair enough. I've got no idea what to say to that. Anywho, we threw that out there to our listeners to answer for us. So did it as a poll. Dalton from Roadhouse got 61% of the vote. Unsurprising. Bodie from Point Break got 27%, and then Johnny from Dirty Dancing got 12%.
Yeah, well, I was the one person that got Johnny.
Had a couple of responses. Paul from the Countdown Podcast. I was recently on the Countdown Podcast doing my top 70 to 61 films of all time, and I've immediately wanted to change my list. It was bullshit. But Paul's basically counting through the top 100, and he gets on different podcasts for different groups of 10. And can you guys pick why I picked 61 to 70?
Because it had the name, the number 69 in it.
Wrong.
Right.
No, yeah, you're right. anyway, Paul said, ha ha ha, doesn't he get beaten by an old dude in Roadhouse? So I went with Bodie. Dirty Dancing guy is a fucking joke, just like that piece of shit movie. Yeah, I said it. What's happening?
Ooh.
What do you got to say to Paul there?
Them's fighting words, Paul.
There you go, Paul. In 15 years when COVID clears up, much is coming to Perth to fight you, mate.
Over Dirty Dancing and over Johnny. Don't put Johnny in a corner, Paul.
Yeah. LJ Human basically posted a gif, I believe, of his character from Donnie Darko. It's pretty dark, but yep, sure. Abigail, hey mate, how are you? Said, this is one of my favourite movies, and I don't care how cheesy that makes me, can't wait to hear the episode. Thank you, Abigail. Thanks for being a Patreon. Thanks for being a general all-round legend. Love your work. Didn't say who she voted for, but I'm guessing it was probably Dalton. It's got to be. M from Verbal Diorama said, I voted for Johnny because I didn't read the question, and then posted a gif of Dirty Dancing. And I was like, hey, that dude has some serious moves. Never underestimate a dance in a fight. And also mentioned, don't worry, we're totally not going to dunk on you for that during the recording of this episode, but much is on your side there, M.
Fully. He's the man.
Anyway, go check out Verbal Diorama, by the way. That podcast is fucking awesome. Brian Oyer said, pain don't hurt. Had a gif of that. Good on you, Brian. Kyle and Nick on Film said there's really only one answer, and then didn't tell us what the answer was.
Obviously Johnny is what they went for.
I'm thinking Johnny. Cheers, Kyle and Nick. The Contrarians said we all know it would be his character from Donnie Darko. Interesting.
Do you know that character?
The less said about that character, the better. And Tara didn't weigh in. God damn it, Tara. I would have liked to have known what you thought. Anyway, thanks again, Tara, for suggesting this movie. Thanks again to these guys for joining me and talking about this movie. Fuck, this movie rocks. Anything else you guys want to say?
Don't go to the double deuce. I thought you were going to say, but no, don't double deuce. It's one log, hey? One log, everybody.
My only thing is, like, surely where did Timlin get all this money from, first of all? Oh, and why doesn't he take all this money and go to a different fucking town where they don't have a Weasley running around?
Yeah. Weasley.
How much money has he made? That guy is rich. Fucking hell.
Absolutely. Anywho, thanks again, everyone, for listening. A little bit of a spotlight here to finish. I was on a Film for Thought podcast. I'm going to put a link down in the show notes. I went on there with a good friend of the show and Patreon, Amy, who is just an all-around awesome girl. And we talked about the one of my favourite films of the last year, 2 years, called A Portrait of a Lady on Fire. I'm guessing that neither of you have even heard of it.
Haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it. Well, Kahu's never seen anything. And Machu, I think, would probably really enjoy that film, but I'll let him get to it in his own time. For obvious reasons, for anyone that's male and watched this film, I think we know why Machu would like this. Anyway, so yeah, I'll put a link down in the show notes. Had an awesome time chatting with her about that film. And anyway, yeah, if you want to get in contact with us, you can find us on Twitter at Movie Reviews In, or you can send us an email at miritqs@gmail.com, or find us on Facebook at Movie Reviews In 20Qs. Not too sure what's upcoming. I don't know. We'll pull something out of our ass. Anyway, that's thanks for me.
Cheers.